Reading from Sri Bhakti Sandarbha Anuchet. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Enmity is not part of Bhagavad Dharma. If perfection can be attained even by hatred, why is it that Venu was cast into hell? Anticipating such a question, Sri Narada spoke the next verse. Quote, I hear one of the phones in the background, so I don't know if everyone has muted their phone, but Vena did not have any one of these five attitudes towards the Supreme Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.1.33. Vena did not have any of the five attitudes already described, such as unceasing enmity in relation to the Supreme Lord. Although he did exhibit animosity towards the Lord in the form of occasional criticism, his enmity was not unbroken. Consequently, because he lacked the intensity of absorption in the Lord, his criticism resulted only in sin. So the intention here is to show that for the attainment of one's own liberation, one should not dare to adopt an inimical attitude towards the Lord, like that which is natural for the Asuras. Thus, the possibility of stretching the definition of Bhagavad Dharma too far so as to include unintended elements such as animosity is removed by verses like this. Quote, all those means that were spoken of by the Lord so that unenlightened humanity could easily attain realization of the self, you should know to be Bhagavad Dharma, Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.34. Because the Lord never intended that animosity be taken as a process to attain him. He never mentioned it, and so it cannot be accepted as part of Bhagavad Dharma. Om Jnana Timuram Vasya Jnanam Jana Salakaya Tatsuram Mutam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Napitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Pidamayam Vidati Sapadantikam Adadana Sinam Dante Idam Yache Punapuna Shima Rupa Pidam Boja Ulisham Janma Janmani Paragi Bhakti Risham Piyatnai Apayama Manabipsamandam Rupambuhiya Paraduka Duki Sanatanastam Prabhumasriyami Vansha Kopa Svarupyasya Kripa Sindhu Payivacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sude Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Greetings from Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania, about an hour and a half, 2 hours west of New York City. I'm here at the home of Nanda Dulal and Savitri. Nanda Dulal listens to both Sanghas, and we're going to have a mindfulness and devotion retreat here. If there's some problem with people not muting the phone, I think it's *6. You can mute your phone. because I hear something in the background. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's... But people can hear me okay? Okay. I guess people can hear me? Okay. I assume people can hear me. Okay.
Yeah.
You can. Okay, good. Okay. So, I'm giving this one more month, beginning in August, the first Wednesday in August. Due to popular request, we're going to do the Chaitanya Charitamrita again. And people want to give me feedback. So far, the sense I have is that a lot of people can't attend the class at 9 that would like to attend it at 8, or it'd be more convenient for people. So if I get any feedback elsewise, I may also change the time at that time. But I'm pretty excited about this last section. It's going to be really getting down to the point. And, of course, we've made an extensive study of bhakti. We started about one-third from the end, where the practices of devotional service were mentioned, beginning with Sadhu Sangha, Surrender to Guru, the 9 practices, devotional service. And of course, there's 2 ways to focus the mind on Krishna. This is the main point. The main point is if the mind is focused on Krishna, the natural devotion in your heart will come out. The nature of the soul will be real. Will be revealed. You'll become self-realized. But the point in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of the 2 types of devotional service, one is Vaidhi, you fix your mind on Krishna with determination out of obligation and duty. And one is Raganuga Bhakti, where you focus your mind out of Krishna out of natural liking. So we discussed Vaidhi Bhakti, we're discussing this principle of natural liking, and absorption of the mind is the key. And absorption of the mind through any sort of internal feeling is highly effective. This is the point that's going to be mentioned. Absorbing the mind out of some internal feeling, some internal sentiment, is highly effective. And therefore, in devotional service, if we can develop a natural liking for Krishna and practice devotional service in a way that natural liking naturally arises within the heart, our absorption in Krishna will greatly intensified. So this is the principle that's been being discussed, and Jiva Goswami, he discusses and authenticates, established everything by the Bhagavatam. So he's establishing it through the 7th canto, because this incredible phenomena takes place, where this person who was envious of Krishna, had intense enmity from Krishna, achieves perfection, which is Shishupal. And this startles Yudhisthira, who's watching this, observing this in the Rajasuya sacrifice, that Shishupal, who's cursing Krishna, abusing Krishna, blaspheming Krishna, Krishna kills him, and his soul merges into the body of Krishna. He just is this perfectional state. He's just astounded. And therefore, because he can't reconcile what happened with his understanding of the scripture, he has to get this somehow reconciled. How is this possible? And therefore he approaches Narada Muni, who's also at the assembly. And Narada Muni begins to explain the power of natural attraction. That You absorb your mind through some type of internal feeling, even if it's an inimical feeling, the mind will become purified of any sin, any enmity, etc. But now he wants to explain this, because it's just like in any. This is why there's so much dialectic in the Shastra, because this still doesn't make sense. So he wants to analyze exactly what he means. So he's analyzing these verses, and he's not. Jiva Goswami is going to repeat the explanation that Yudhisthira received from Narada Muni. And it's based on this verse where Narada said that any of these five sentiments, enmity, fear, natural relationship, lusty desire, and bhakti, which means vaidhi bhakti, if any of these ways one can absorb his mind in Krishna, he will achieve perfection. So we're up to the part where this is actually analyzed, and then because this is Jiva Goswami to make something clear, Jiva Goswami was reading the Bhagavatam, and then it mentioned six sentiments when there were only five initially mentioned. Then Gail would definitely raise her hand and say, Sri Jiva, you know, in this verse there was five, so how is there six here? So he kind of explained that. He explained many points about this verse. One, he explained that these verses that appear to be contradictory when it gave affection and relationship, and it gave the examples for each, the Vrishnis and the Pandavas, the parental love from the father and mother side, was actually talking about one, which was parental feelings. It was actually talking about relationship. If you have an internal feeling of relationship as a relative. And then he explains also that these verses were referring to people who were practitioners, because they achieved. So it was talking about that this is actually people aspire to have a certain sentiment. They were not yet perfect. And by that sentiment and desire to have a particular sentiment, a particular relationship with the Lord, the gopis weren't the eternal. There were people who aspired to that and attained perfection by hearing about the gopis and then desiring that I would also like to serve Krishna in that way. A natural sentiment arose. And that's how the process works, by hearing the Shastra and hearing the devotees, especially hearing the Shastra from devotees who have particular affection for Krishna in a spontaneous way. Then that will awaken your own natural love for Krishna. So by relationship, by that. And then, and it explained also with Narada Muni, he was talking about how his practice he achieved. So it's clear that this was by practice. And then one other point they wanted to mention, because now that it's established this point, how powerful it is to absorb the mind by internal feelings and sentiments, and how cognizant we must be of this point. And if we're cognizant of this point, we'll desire that. It's not that we can impose it artificially. It has to be spontaneously awakened in the heart. It's not, if you don't have it, you can do it. You have to get it. And it's spontaneous. So it's not, you could, so by desiring that, then that desire will bring you in the right association, that desire will have you read the right books, that desire will infuse you to practice Krishna consciousness intently, and then those sentiments, your natural sentiment will arise, and then when that sentiment arises, you can absorb yourself more effectively, and you can cultivate that. Not exactly cultivate artificially, but you can put yourselves in situations to hear and nourish those particular sentiments. You can worship particular deities in a way, and you can read about those devotees that you're... Rupa Goswami explains this in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. You hear about those particular devotees who you covet that type of relationship, and, you know, you can read prayers and so many things. But so he explains that this point here. But then now the point remains to be cleared. Is there any room, or even if there is a recommendation, that we can hate God like Shishupal and achieve perfection? Because it says by these sentiments, it's much more effective and much more quick than Vaidhi Bhakti. Obviously. Because the goal is natural liking, but Rag begins with natural liking. So then he kind of hinted at it in this previous Anuchet, and now he's going to explain it more elaborately, that Shishupal was not a practitioner. He was an eternal associate of the Lord. So he didn't attain it through practice. So this is not an example, Shishupal, of practice, but rather to facilitate the Lord's pastimes, he manifested an antagonistic disposition. You know, it's people like to fight, and people who like to fight, they like a good challenge. So the Lord's devotees also perform this service, and Shishupal therefore becomes more an example than an example of a practitioner, which he's not, of someone who attains the Lord through animosity only in the sense that his apparent antagonism gets destroyed. Well, we know this story. It's going to be explained later. That Shishupal was Jai and Vijay, and they committed some offense to the devotee, which creates some semblance of antagonism towards the Lord. And the Lord sends him down, and by this meditation, in this enmity, that is removed. So it shows the power of absorption by internal sentiments. Now, he wants to make sure we understand that enmity is not part of Bhagavad Dharma, and he gives the example of Venu. So what's the difference? Because Venu went to hell. If you know the story of Venu, it was one of my favorite stories in the Bhagavatam, but there's King Prithu. No, there's Maharaj Unga. And, you know, in the Vedic society, there's offering of pinga to the forefathers, which means that, and if everyone wants a son, the son is called Putra. Put means hell, tra means to deliver. It's a big thing to have a son. And he couldn't have a son, and he performed some sacrifice. And I believe, he had a son. But because there was some discrepancy, like in the modern society, if you can't have a child or something, you get this fertilization type thing. And then you have twins, triplets, quadruplets, you know. So there, they would rely on different sacrifices. But if you perform the sacrifice even slightly wrong, then you wouldn't get the exact result. It's just like when, who is that wanted to kill Indra? Prastha. What? Prastha. Right? So he performed the sacrifice, and he wanted to create an enemy of Indra, someone who can kill Indra. But he chanted the one vowel wrong, and instead of becoming creating an enemy of Indra, he created someone who Indra would be the enemy. So rather than the enemy of Indra, someone killing Indra, he created someone who'd be killed by Indra, and it was just, you know, an ah became an ah, or an oo became an oo, or an e became an e, a short vowel became a long vowel, and the whole thing. So somehow discrepancy and sacrifice, so he had a son, but the son was completely cruel. And the story of the son was, he was the king's son, he was very powerful, and he would take his playmates out, and then sometimes he would beat them to death. And the father just had so much embarrassment and humiliation that he left home. Now, in the Vedic society, the one thing about a king, there's something called the Mogha Virya, seminal succession, that there's a potency in the seminal line. And a king has to be so qualified, not like a modern-day politician, which Prabhupada criticizes. But they were very, very powerful. And they would keep the rogues and the thieves in check. And if there wasn't a powerful king, they would begin to harass the people. So when Unga went, the rogues and thieves got a lot of energy. And they started to harass the people. So the Brahminical Council met, the sages met, and they said, what should we do? So someone said, well, what about his son? He's very, very powerful. They said, well, he's so cruel. They said, you know, what we feel like is a log which is burning on both sides. We feel like ants in the middle of a log that's burning on both sides. Damned if you do, damned if you don't. Whichever way you turn, you're finished. He said, because if we don't install Vena, the rogues and thieves will consume us. And if we do install Vena, then he'll consume us. Then he'll oppress us. So they basically flipped the coin. And they said, okay, we'll give Vena a try and see, you know, maybe from that good birth or something. So he was so cruel. And the first thing he did is he declared that, let's stop worshiping God. The king is Narahari. He's the man god. We don't need Vishnu. And he stopped the sacrifices. And then the end, when he was killed by the sages, finally, by mantras, he went to hell. So here it's explained. So he had enmity. Sishupal had enmity. What's the difference? Well, here's the difference is... His animosity was an occasional criticism. It wasn't an absorption. And because it wasn't an absorption, he didn't become purified. He went to hell. And therefore, if we become inimical to God, we won't become absorbed in God. We'll occasionally criticize him, but we'll be absorbed in everything else. We'll be absorbed in everything else. And then he mentions... there would be a defect in the definition of Bhagavad Dharma. If you include enmity, you'd be extending it too far. And then he quotes from the Bhagavatam in the 11th canto where Bhagavad Dharma is described and what attitudes are within Bhagavad Dharma. And enmity is not listed. They're all favorable sentiments. So the Bhagavatam is pramana, the Bhagavatam is evidence. So if you give that as evidence, you've extended the definition. Definition has to be exact. It can't be too narrow, so it doesn't include things that should be within it, and it shouldn't be too broad that it includes things within it that shouldn't be. And he said this would extend the definition beyond its limits according to the Shastra. So enmity is not being recommended. And then he goes on to explain, because within this verse of Vena, it mentioned Vena. No, he's not. Vena is didn't have these attitudes, but those who do, any means whatever, one should absorb their mind in Krishna. In other words, it's actually a very famous verse. I can't, Krishna, I forgot that Krishna, it's quoted in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. This verse is the principle of devotional service. It says, the spiritual master finds ways and means to engage the disciple in devotional service. And Rupa Goswami quotes, by any means whatsoever, you should absorb your mind, because this is the thing, you know? Say it slowly, what? Yena tena prakatena Krishna mane nidhishe. See here, I got the audience saying these verses. It's just natural. So the Lord never intended animosity to be taken of a process. Okay. So then within this verse it says that, you know, by any means whatsoever you should remain. Vena is not absorbed. He's not absorbed. But whatever means whatsoever, one should absorb the mind. And then he discusses a very, very interesting principle, because previously he said, yinjat, one should absorb the mind. He said it's not, this is a little technical, it's not the optative case, this word, which means optative means command. It can't be a command, because then it's vaidhi bhakti. It's not, you should absorb the mind, then you absorb the mind. Then that's vaidhi bhakti. It's out of obligation and duty. So it said, not that you should, but you should do it. Because he said the same, nidhishayate, one should absorb the mind, it's the same as this word. One should. It's not a command. So what it means is, let me just see one thing. What it means is the process is somehow you should get this feeling so that you spontaneously want to, so you have internal, your mind's absorbed by some internal feeling. So somehow you should get this. And this is how you get it. You hear about it. First of all, you hear about the process of Raga Nidra Bhakti. That, you know, this is the process. You should, you know, and therefore you desire it. And by desiring it, you start to read the Bhagavatam, you start the Kirtan, you start to read the different Goswami's literature, and where all these sentiments are described. And then eventually they'll reflect on your heart. Or you have it from a previous life and it awakens, or in this life it awakens, somehow or other. You associate with those devotees who have those sentiments. You read the books, you do the kirtans. Basically, you practice Krishna consciousness sincerely. Because we have the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is filled with this, and that's why I wanted to discuss that. And if you read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the guru may say, read the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And if you do that out of obligation and duty, fine, still, we should read this. But somehow or other, you start reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and all these sentiments, because that's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is. His whole life is Raj. He's in the mood of Srimati Radharani. His associates, Sarup Damodar, Ramananda Roy, are in these moods. Raghunath Das Goswami, Rupa Goswami. You start to read, and Lord Chaitanya is in the Gambira, and Lord Chaitanya is dancing in the Rathayatra in these moods. And what is he thinking? And this is how the process works. You begin to cherish this. You understand, and maybe some general feeling of, I want to be a resident of Braj. I want my eternal relationship with Krishna begins to manifest in eternal. Because you understand that this is bhakti. And you begin to chant and practice in that way. That's your prayers. So let me have this. So, the statement, by any means whatsoever, means by the suitable methods mentioned before. By what's mentioned. Not by anything, not these things. By the suitable mentioning. And it's a great wonder that which is achieved after a long time with great endeavor through the path of Vaidhi Bhakti is quickly achieved simply through a specific internal feeling, Baba. including even animosity, and referring to Shishupo. That's quick, but we already went through that. But then he makes a very nice point that because Krishna, because God is awarding even out of animosity, right, he's so wonderful that we should love him. He's so kind. He's so kind that we should love him. He's so virtuous that he awards the highest destination even to those that approach him with animosity. One should not even conceive of approaching him out of enmity. He's such a person. Why should you hate him? And what petty person, he says, can be indifferent to the Lord without feeling love to such a person who's so kind? So it's included, therefore, the conclusion is that of these five attitudes, and it's really recommending sambandha and kam, which is the two types of raganuga, bhakti, kamanuga and sambandhanuga. These are the two types. Sambandhanuga means a friend or a parent, relation, and kamanuga means a gopi. So it really, when he goes, this whole thing comes down to it. Not recommending Vaidhi Bhakti, right? He's not recommending enmity or fear. Really what's being recommended is one should cultivate Krishna consciousness in such a way and pray for his eternal relationship with Krishna to awaken the heart, and to read the Shastra, the Bhagavatam, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, what all these sentiments are. And read about Vrindavan. Read about Vrindavan. So, Raganuga Bhakti is the conclusion. It's the recommended path. So he's come to this point. And from the analysis given so far, I've understood that the path of bhava or absorption is extremely powerful. In other words, to absorb the mind in the Lord, to any sort, this is the key thing. In other words, to absorb the mind in the Lord through any sort of internal feeling whatsoever is highly effective. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's all, you know, these songs we sing. Actually, it's very nice to be here at the home of Nanda Dulal, and we are looking forward to the retreat. It's nice, and it's nice also, I see, he has two grown-up sons, I think they're 19 and 22, and it's not come here and chant your rounds. They want to do, I was the chankaji, I had to stop the kirtan because of the class. But they're spontaneously attracted to kirtan. They went to New Vrindavan. They came back. They came to my room to tell me, because it was at the kirtan. They told me that they were, the oldest son told me he did kirtan 18 out of 24 hours. He slept for 2 and 4 hours he went out to get some air. And he's also a trumpet player. Bhattacharya, jazz trumpet player, too. He's in the kirtan. Well-balanced voice. And he told me he slept 2 hours, but he's very disappointed. He's sorry that he did. So they come, they spontaneously, they want to do kirtan. And then there's a lot of Krishna deities, the Gauri Thai deities. And the prasad that Gauri Thai eats here, there's an incredible preparation that puts you right in Gaura Lila. And I don't think I've ever had it in America. It's called neem begon. Begon is eggplant. Neem is a leaf, a very bitter leaf. And one of the favorite Bengali preparations is this neem begon. Every day there's... So we're in Gaura Lila. We're thinking of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and how he was relishing prasada. And we're desiring that one day we may be in his lila, in the Panihati Lila, and get the Chitta Dahi. Tomorrow is Thursday, Jaya Dvaita Maharaj will arrive, and we're going to have our Chitta Dahi feast at noon, because we didn't, this year we had Memorial Day festival, we didn't have the Chitta Dahi. And Chitta Dahi, this is Bengali preparation. So we're going to have the Chitta Dahi. tomorrow for you. And then the weekend, I'm very much looking forward to it. I think devotees need this, and I have a vision to provide this regularly. A cost-affordable retreat atmosphere where people can put away the cell phones, put away the computers, and just absorb themselves in chanting. Here, but this is also, we're going to be talking on how to do that. And if you want the spiritual world, that's what the spiritual world needs. The spiritual world is here. It's the absorption in God. And he said, so how, because it's so effective, and this is called, this is a term in Nyaya or logic, it's called the Kamutya principle. Kamutya principle means something is mentioned only to highlight something else. And the Kamutya principle, and how much more is this? Right? How much more is this? So if by any internal feeling, absorption in God by any internal feeling is so effective, then the Kamutya principle means, and it applies to this verse, what it's really saying is how much more if it's out of natural liking. And how much more the gopis absorb, how much more the parents absorb out of natural liking. And therefore what it really means is it's recommending this. It's concluded that the recommended path to achieve is none other than Raghunuga Bhakti as Narada told Vasudeva. So Raghunuga Bhakti is the Abhideya, the real Abhideya. If you want the real practice of attaining God, you have to become to a platform of spontaneous attraction. And once spontaneous attraction, you have to worship Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's in the mood of spontaneous attraction. You have to serve his mission. And you have to read the books that Prabhupada gave us, which are Rasika Shastra. And if you do that, these sentiments will arise. So here he quotes from the 11th canto, even kings like Sishupal, Pondraka, and Shalva, who are constantly absorbed inimical feelings towards Krishna, even while sleeping, sitting, performing all of the normal activities, attained the liberation of merging into him, because their minds were imprinted with the images of his gait, graceful movements, and glance. Now, Kamutya principle. So what to speak of those whose consciousness is fully merged in him out of love? That's the Kamutya principle. And very interesting word here. Very interesting. It's called, the word is akriti diya, whose minds were of that form. This explains it. You see, this compound is used in qualifying the kings. These kings were absorbed. So, but the word was the kings whose mind became that form. So this compound means that their minds took the shape of the images of Krishna's walk, graceful movements, and glance. So this is what it means when you have, when your mind is absorbed out of internal sentiment in Krishna, then your mind takes the shape of Krishna. It takes the shape of Krishna's walk, it takes the shape of Krishna's glances and movements. When you see an object, your mind takes the form of that object. So when you're seeing Krishna, even out of enmity, what to speak of love, then your mind takes the form of Krishna. This is Raghunuga Bhakti. Your mind takes the form of Krishna. Dana's mind did not take the form of Krishna. Sishupal's mind took the form of Krishna. The gopi's mind took the form of Krishna. His parents' mind took the form of Krishna. And Narada Muni. So the same point is made in the Garuda Purana. Even ignorant and sinful people like Sishupal and Diodana, who severely criticized Krishna, who was honored by the gods, became free of their sins simply by remembering him, and thus achieve salvation. So what doubt can there be about achieving the supreme destination for those endowed with supreme devotion to him? Now, he wants to hit home the point, and we'll finish this section. And then next, then we have two more sections, which is called the most confidential wisdom, and that's going to explain why Ramana Devaki means specifically in relationship to Krishna. Although it basically means spontaneously absorbed, but why Krishna? And then there'll be a very short two-page conclusion of the whole Bhakti Sangha. And then we'll go into Gaura Lila. So the last section in this particular section, which is describing the power of natural attraction, enmity is not included in devotion. Therefore, in referring back to this verse, the absorption in the Lord that a mortal being can reach through unobstructed enmity cannot obtain by bhakti yoga. This is my definite opinion. One should not misinterpret this to mean that unceasing enmity is the best attitude with which you can approach the Lord. And then he's going to say, let's examine this statement to Jayan Vijay and explain why. Because Shishupal was a manifestation of Jayan Vijay. So what did he say? Becoming free of your disrespect to the Brahmins by continuous absorption in me through anger, you will again return to me in a short period of time. So it's Krishna's instruction to him. You'll become free of this disrespect to the Brahmins, because we know they insulted the four Kumaras. So he said, this is how you'll do it now. By continuous absorption of me through anger, you will become liberated. You'll again return to the same position. So now, Swami is going to explain, therefore, the anger of Shishupal was external. He was a devotee. That's the point. You can't. In other words, enmity is not included in devotion. And their type of enmity, even if you really want to analyze their type of enmity, it was really external. They were devotees who had to, for Leela in his pastimes, externally they play that role. So here it is. Here also the Lord recommends unbroken absorption in him through a semblance of anger. A semblance. You see, to mitigate the semblance of the offense they made towards the Brahmins. The Lord recommended this method to attain him specifically for them. He recommended this for them because as eternal associates, they naturally belong in his company, and because this whole scenario was orchestrated just to facilitate the Lord's playful fighting spirit. So it's not that they had inborn enmity like that. In this matter, some people are of the opinion that the quality of devotion is found even in hatred and other similar feelings. This is wrong, because the words bhakti and seva connote favorable feeling, where enmity, being unfavorable, fails to meet the criterion of devotion. In the Uttarakhanda, the Padma Prana, also bhakti is differentiated from hatred. So, Jiva Goswami verses. The Lord is seen by the yogis through the eyes of devotion, but he can never be seen without devotion. Lord Krishna can never be seen by anger or enmity. So Jiva Goswami has this huge library. And when he wants to prove a point, now he goes, oh, let me see. He's so learned. He said, oh, I remember something in the Uttarakhanda of the Padma Purana. He pulls out this verse, Shastra. You can't by envy. It's not, you can't, devotion cannot be anger, envy. Then he brings up another question, because he knows that there are gals in the audience that are going to say, wait a second, you say not by enmity, but what about this statement by Uddhava, who describes the inimical as devotees? Uddhava says, I consider the Asuras as devotees.
So what do you say about that, Sri Jiva? I consider the astrologer as devotee. So how do you explain that? So Jesus, what he does, I'm not going to read it, but he says the word was manye, I consider. It's not a definitive statement. I consider. But what he really says is, if you understand the story in context, this is what you have to understand in context. What the context was, it shows that he's only using it in a metaphorical sense. The Asuras do not possess the quality of being devoted. How is it? It is because at that moment, it was natural for Uddhava to refer to the Asuras metaphorically as devotees because he was overwhelmed with grief and longing due to separation from the Lord. He just left the world. The Lord had just left the world. This was first when he met Uddhava. And he met Vidura. So it's actually, he's telling Vidura that the Lord has left the world, and he's lamenting. And he's lamenting so much that he's glorifying even the Asuras who had Krishna's association. I see the Asuras as devotees. I'm separated. The Asuras had his personal association. So he's remembering Vrindavan. If you remember that story, that part, he summarizes all the Vrindavan pastimes. In doing so, he's reflecting of their great fortune to be able at least to see the Lord at the time of death while opposing him in the battle. They even saw the Lord. This is Bob. This is not a statement of fact that the Asuras are devoted, but in his mood, he's so much in separation of Krishna that he's he's glorifying the Asuras who had the chance to see him just before they died. And where was he? And the substance of Uddhava's ironical comparison is as follows. Alas, we are averse to the Lord because there is no longer any possibility for us to behold the moonlight face of the Lord at the time of our death. Even the Asuras are devotees more than us, because at the time of death, they were blessed with the great fortune of seeing the moonlight face of the Lord. Therefore, devotion is never to be found in hatred and other feelings, and therefore, what's recommended here, beautifully done by Jiva Goswami, is absorption by favorable internal feelings based on a natural sambandha or relationship with Krishna in terms of your eternal relationship with Krishna. And if you want to accelerate your devotional service, you have to read the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And you have to read the Bhagavatam, these Rasika Shastras, where these sentiments and feelings and moods are. You have to visit Vrindavan and Mayapur and hear from devotees and sing the songs of Vishwanath Chakravarti, of Narottam Das Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and Raghunath Das Goswami. Rupa Raghunatha Pade Poibe Akuti Kabe Hama Bhuje Bose Yuga La Priti Rupa Raghunatha Pade Poibe Akuti Kabe Hama Bhuje Bose Yuga La Pariti. Oh, when will I become eager to read the books left by Rupa and Raghunath? Kabe Hame Bhuje book. Then I will be able to understand the love of Hare Krishna. So this is actually what's being recommended. Hare Krishna. So I'm learning now. It took me this Raghunu deception, it took me till this time to figure out how to teach it. What I got to do is summarize it, not read the whole thing, but we learned. Are there any questions?
What about the Asuras, Maharaj?
Who's that?
This is Gail.
What about what?
The asuras.
The asuras? What about them?
Never mind. I was referring to Uddhava's separation.
Oh, you like that move, huh?
Piggybacking on your comment. Jiva Goswami knows that there are gales in the audience who will say, what about the asuras?
yes. Yeah, he wants to answer all the subtle questions. All the violent contradictions, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so slow, Gail. I should have immediately picked up on what you were doing. I'm so slow these days. But I'm telling you, you know, it's so wonderful to be out here with Nanda Gulal into retreat for this week.
Uh-huh.
It's so conducive, the spiritual life. And even, we have Artik in the evening, and then we do kirtan for an hour and a half. And then I always look forward to lunch. you get all the authentic preparations from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. You can understand why there's so many descriptions. Today we had what's called Pushta. How do you pronounce it? Pushta, it means you make a sauce. This is also in Chaitanya Charitamrita, of sesame, poppy seeds, grinded with cashews and almond sauce, and they make that for the potatoes. And she likes to do for those deities. So especially when she has someone, a sannyasi who still doesn't have heart problems yet. Or cholesterol. It's like a real excitement there. You know, you have that, what did we have the other day, too? The different things, you know, and you get the, so it's, anyway, you'll be here this weekend, and she's really looking forward, you know, to seeing all the devotees out here. It's nice. Okay, thank you. So, thank you. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Rasikya.
Rasikya, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I wish I could be there.
Well,
it's not going to happen this time, but it will soon.
yeah. I tell you, you'd really like it out here.
I know.
This family, I don't know if you know them, but really nice. And they're very, you know, they're really absorbed. The whole family is absorbed. And, you know, it's Gaur-lila is so natural to them because they're from Bhattacharya Bengali families. You know, so it's so natural for them, the Gaur-lila and the... we're starting what looks like a pilot program, but what I'd like to do is provide something that's happening, you know, maybe every month eventually someplace. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so when people, it's convenient for people, they can come.
Right.
And, you know, I know Bhagavad Life does these wonderful retreats,
yeah,
but this is just...
I went to one recently.
Yeah, I know. This would be a little bit different. I just want a place where naturally people could be absorbed and just concentrate for a period of time. It's not a big organizational thing, but it's interesting. Let's see how it goes. But I think one of the ideas is for the devotees that are here, we'll discuss, you know, how we can provide, you know, the needs for devotees in this way.
Yeah.
But anyway, thank you. It's nice that you're coming on. That's great.
Yeah, and also I like the idea of what you just said, where it's not so organizational.
Yeah.
Because it's getting a little too organized for my taste.
Organization, but I don't want to organize because then I can't do it. But it's smaller, and I want it like, I have a vision. Well, let's see, and Mahamuni really has a vision where if you could have a atmosphere, you know, then very easily people could come. You see, because, you know, the church, you know, especially, you know, Dominicans, Franciscans, and like that they figured out in the Western world for their, you know, for the people in the world, what they have is they have places where you can go. Even if you're just alone, then someone will give you a guided program or, you know, a particular meditation, or then they have group retreats and, you know.
Yeah.
it's good to become absorbed. Anyway, let's see how it goes, and I'll let you know.
Anyway, Mahamuni and Nitai will be coming, so I'll be staying here to help take care of their two daughters.
Well, their two daughters will be very fortunate.
Yeah, and and I also wanted to thank you so much for tonight's class, and it just, you know, made me again appreciate so much our process. That it's not just philosophy, but it's food and
right
food and gathering and all these wonderful descriptions of food. It makes your mouth water, you know, hearing about it. So it's like our heart waters, our mouth waters, everything waters.
Well, I shouldn't explain it because I'm the one that's getting it. I can't. I wish I could put the preparations over the phone, you know.
No, but your descriptions give us a taste. It's very nice.
Well, I mean, she's very devoted to the deities and to this type of cooking, and you know, it's she likes all the different. And you know, you spend time in India, so you know.
Yeah.
What that kind of, and you know, Bengali cooking too, is very light because it's the emphasis is on the vegetables, not you know.
Right.
North Indian usually, cooking.
It's usually those sauces. I mean the spices. Yeah. Like probably making a paste is the best kind of spicing.
Yeah, and the other thing is she also is very practical too for health. She also cooks it in olive oil.
Yeah,
because it's easier to digest, so that's also.
Yeah, nice.
But anyway, it's quite interesting. Also, you know, there's what's it called, Kushmanda? What's it called, Kushmanda Dula? The mustard sauce.
Oh yeah.
Kushmanda. There's a fresh mustard sauce they make in Bengal, and they keep it in jars.
Oh my God!
You know, so that's like but it's also, you know what I like too, in training their children, they were very very practical with them too, and they became devoted. In other words, they have a devotional outlook, but they, because they're in the world, you know, they also learn instruments. Their oldest son was in the jazz band. knows jazz, trumpet, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I like that, you know, that it's both. It has to be both.
Yeah, it was very practical. They had a very nice band. Now I'm seeing both the children have basically almost scholarships to University of Southern California if they're studying engineering. And also the Poconos is so freezing cold that they like to get to Southern California, but they're it's nice because you know they're so, you know, they come in, they ask questions on Bhagavad Gita, you know, but at the same time they go to the gym in the morning.
Yeah, that's
you know,
great.
Get their exercise and then, but okay, good. Thank you for coming on today. Great.
Hari Bol.
Hari Bol. Anyone else like to say Hare Krishna? One more person? Kashundi. It's called mustard paste. Anybody else like Hare Krishna? Okay, Hare Bol. Panchakalpa Tarubhyasya Kritasindhu Vyayatichakrita.